This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 24. Today's guest is Matt Bernstein, online entrepreneur trainer at Udemy and founder of SkillHants.com.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. You know, every Thursday we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you too can do the work you're meant to do. Today's host is myself, JC Preston. I'm founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work, and more importantly, giving them the resources and community they need to help share it with others. And in fact, today's episode is powered by HostGator. You know, let's not beat around the bush here. If you're a creator, you need a website. And frankly, there's no reason not to have one these days. Anyone can make one if they choose to, especially due to the level of control you would have with, a WordPress install. And speaking of WordPress, did you know that it's rather easy to install with HostGator? I mean, it's one button install. That's it. And not to mention that they have what's called optimized WordPress, which means that your awesome site will be backed up automatically and any hacked files will be updated as well, if that were ever to happen. Plus, I just love the 365-day support via chat, phone, and email. And when I talk to them about one problem or another, you know, we seem to get the problem done and taken care of within the day, not a week, like some hosting services might take. You know, some of your local, you know, brothers, uncle sort of, I can do a website for you sort of thing. No, none of that. Very professional, and you'll get taken care of within the day. So if that sounds like something that you might be interested in worth checking out, you can go to newinceptions.com/HostGator and receive 20% off your next web hosting order. Again, that's newinceptions.com/HostGator. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to the podcast. This is session number 24. How are you doing today? Just want to say thank you so much for checking out today's show. And I hope whatever or whenever you find yourself doing today, that you're having an amazing day. You know, I know some of you are here because you checked out last week's session with Mark Nathan. Again, that was a very powerful talk. I've been told a couple of times that, you know, his story resonated really, really well with a lot of people, and just simply makes you believe that anybody can start a business they're passionate about. This week, I have another great talk coming at you from a creator that wants people to realize that, you know, they can do really any business that they want to do as well. I actually met him through the Smart Passive Income community on Facebook. And like Mark, he has a strong passion in helping people learn skills that might help them get additional income and possibly out of their day job. However, what makes him slightly different is that he's actually done his magic on a site or two that you might be familiar with. For example, eBay and maybe a site called Udemy. And to be honest, I had never personally heard of Udemy until I saw him post about it, and then he mentioned he had 50,000 students, and my antenna just shot straight up. So today's guest's name is Matt Bernstein, and he's going to share with us a number of fascinating tips and tactics. And in fact, when I was editing the show, I felt like I was listening to the Smart Passive Income podcast with Pat. I mean, he's just dropping so many information nuggets that you're going to have to be taking notes. So seriously, get out something to write with and a piece of paper. Some of the things that we talk about today include how he became an entrepreneur at a young age, very similar to how Gary Vee did it. How the book 4-Hour Workweek changed his perspective on what and how he sold things online, and how he transitioned to Udemy and how he's managed his success on there. So if you have any questions for Matt or myself after the show, feel free to go into newinceptions.com/session24, leave a question in the comments there, or you can email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com, and I'll be sure to get any questions that you guys have to Matt in the future. And as usual, I'll be back after the conversation to fill anything we might have missed. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm talking with Matt Bernstein, online instructor with over 50,000 students across 186 countries. While studying to become a communication major at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, Matt learned that there is unequal access to resources to teach people about developing more income. He wanted to help solve it. Because at the time, he was selling products on eBay, profiting $24,000 a year, and that was just part-time work. In 2014, Matt moved to an apartment in Boston that he could barely afford, and there he started making Udemy courses in which he taught students how to sell on eBay, ideally teaching people with full-time jobs that they can then supplement their income with part-time passive income themselves. Currently, Matt is teaching people how to emulate his success, starting with growing a part-time passive income and leveraging their money and patience to grow a portfolio-based income. So, Matt, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me on, JC. I'm very happy that I met you in Paflin's Smart Passive Income community on Facebook.
Yeah, that's a massive, massive group. But, it's pretty cool that he's been able to get. It's like 80,000 people, I believe.
I know, it's crazy. We'll start emulating his success soon enough.
Right. Yeah. He's just always setting the trend. I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing until I ran across that group. And does he even actively promote the fact that he has a Facebook group?
I have no idea. I forgot how I even stumbled upon the group. I don't even know if it was from his website or if I was just searching through the Facebook groups, just trying to find like-minded people to converse with on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and actually what's funny about that is you mentioned that. I mean, I've started noticing that, you know, he was the first big group that I found, but there's several other ones that, you know, kind of doing the same stuff. And it's kind of interesting how they, you know, for a while groups weren't even used because the whole focus was on pages. But ever since, you know, Facebook changed that whole use of pages to the only way that you're going to actually connect with your followers is to pay. I've seen a really big upshoot in use of Facebook groups. So, that's an interesting phenomenon all in itself. So, but yeah, no, really definitely excited to have you on. I think a lot of people will be able to relate with your story and how you actually started doing stuff. And, I guess the kind of getting into things here, I mean, how did you actually become a solopreneur?
Well, at a very young age, my dad bought me this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm sure you guys have heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
And basically the book just meant that, like, instead of getting an active income and working for somebody else, creating an asset for them and getting paid limited by your hours, it was smarter for you to build your own business, create your own asset, so you're not limited by the hours in the day. So I knew from a very young age that I wanted to build my own business and create some sort of an asset.
Right. I didn't actually come across that book until I was a sophomore in college. And, that book, if you haven't read that book, again, it's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by Robert Kiyosaki. If you haven't read that book yet, you definitely want to start there. But in fact, when I was in grad school, entrepreneurship course, that was actually one of our books that we would, you know, make sure that, you know, students would read. So yeah, very, very insightful book for sure. Cool. You kind of always saw yourself doing your own thing. I mean, what were some of the things that you tried, you know, after you read that book?
Well, basically I just shot right over to eBay and started selling my own used items in my house that I didn't use anymore.
Oh yeah.
you know, being a kid, I had plenty of video games and plenty of toys and stuff that I didn't use. So I figured that would be a great start to kind of just get acquainted with eBay and how shipping the product works and how to lower costs shipping and doing everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically continuing with the story, I started that in 2006 and then starting in 2000, and then I would try to sell other products for people, just kind of have my own like consignment thing going on.
Right.
And the lesson learned with that is people think that their stuff is worth more than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I would tell them a price that I could get for it, and then they would be highly disappointed. And it just like, there was a lot of tension between the dealings, even if there was the paperwork involved and everything else. So I just thought that that wasn't for me. So then I moved on to drop shipping baseball card cases
mm-hmm.
and boxes on eBay.
Right.
And I started that in 2009. And I was seeing that these things were selling online for $600 to $1,000. And after reading the 4-Hour Work Week, Tim Ferriss is a huge proponent of selling products only at $250 or above, because you can either sit here and list products for $25, you'll get more sales, but in retail selling online, you'll probably only make around 10%. So what would you rather make, $2.50 or $25 with each product that you're selling?
Right.
So it's about just maximizing your time. And actually, I would also sell the boxes, the individual boxes. So basically a case, there'd be 12 boxes to a case.
Right.
And I would sell the individual boxes for $60. I was actually surprised to find out that I sold more cases than I would boxes. More people were willing to spend the $500 than they were, let's just say, $60 on just one box.
More of a bulk thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back into what you were talking about with the, before you got into drop shipping, you were kind of doing that. You said the, oh crap, my brain fart.
Consignment.
Yeah. So before you got into drop shipping, you were doing the consignment stuff. Sounds like you kind of got into, what is it? Picking a little bit there. I mean, kind of the same mentality that they have on American Pickers. It's like, man, I mean, you think as a, you know, collector that you have some good stuff there, but I got to tell you, you know, this is what it's worth sort of thing. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Just some of the people that they have to deal with on that show just like don't want to sell to them. They don't want to get rid of the stuff that right. they have, and right. they think it's worth more than it actually is.
So a lot of the same stuff as far as consignment then. Okay. Yeah. And personally, I've been around a few people that are here in the Indy area that are thinking about opening up online consignment shops. And I kind of think about that's a great idea, but what are some of the issues that they're going to run into? And that sounds like a big one. It's like, man, having to deal with people that, you know, they think that the value is this high, but it's not going to go that much. So good point. I like that. So you got into drop shipping and you were starting with baseball cards. And I think that, I mean, that's a good route to go. There's good company there. Gary Vee started that way too. So, you know, that's cool. I guess how did you find out about drop shipping, and just kind of give me some of the basics on how that actually works, if you would.
Well, I got into drop shipping because, number one, I mean, being a kid, I used to just love sports collectibles and baseball cards. So I figured, hey, you know, why not sell it? Why not try to make some money doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the two people that stand out, I basically just Googled how to drop ship and how to sell on eBay. And throughout all those research, two names stand by. Dave Espino, who is now also a Udemy instructor. He's been great at making an income online since 1999. And another company called Worldwide Brands.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought their membership for $300 for life. And I'm sure they're making a great living too, just selling the information that they have. And that's how I got into dropshipping. And basically what dropshipping is, you work with the wholesalers who sell the product. So and how business works is you have a manufacturer who want to sell in bulk, who sell to a wholesaler who are willing to buy that product in bulk and sell it to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as a consumer, buy from the retailer.
Right.
And basically my plan was you just basically call up the manufacturer. So in this case, I called up Upper Deck and Tops. I introduced myself and my company. I said where I was located at, and I was interested in selling some of their products. Would you give me the wholesalers that you work with? And they're more than happy to give you a full list of wholesalers that they do business with. This way, you know, it's legitimate wholesalers and that you're not getting, that you're not working with middlemen who aren't legit, who are just fake.
Right.
And basically what happens is you get in touch with these wholesalers who drop ship, meaning I have access to their inventory and I can list that inventory up on eBay. And only after I make a sale do I buy the product and the wholesaler ships the, that product out to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically there's just no upfront cost for product. You only have to buy the product when after you make a sale.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Well, that's, yeah, that's cool. I know that my wife was actually trying to get into e-commerce not too long ago. And one of the things that she had a great idea was to actually talk to, I think we have a local Nestle plant here. And I, for whatever reason, she thought it was a good idea that, you know, let's just talk to one of the local, you know, manufacturers. And yeah, she just gave them a call and they couldn't get anything. So we decided that we'd just kind of drive by the plant, and that wasn't a great idea either. But I think for a lot of people that kind of wanted to get into drop shipping, there's maybe like an invisible wall there, I think people perceive. And I mean, do you have any like kind of tips on how to get through that wall, I guess? I mean, to me, it sounded like you're pretty straightforward and that you got in contact with, you know, the baseball card manufacturers. But was, do you remember any of the hurdles that you had to go to, like, kind of get to the people that would give you that information?
Well, basically, the biggest problem is where you just pointed it out. It's product sourcing and actually learning how to get products at wholesale prices and find dropshippers.
Mm-hmm.
So the hurdles of anything like that is you just have to call the manufacturer directly of any product that you think will sell well on eBay. And the company has to kind of be small enough where they'll work with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Toshiba or any of the huge companies out there, that they probably won't work with you if they find out that you're selling on eBay.
Right.
But Tops and Upper Deck, you know, they're big, but they're not too, too big that they're not, that they're willing to work with people like us.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting on the phone and just like hustle and do that work, because it's, they don't just post their phone number online.
Right.
So you just have to, so literally what I did was to find the number of Tops and Upper Deck, I just called their customer service line and just got transferred and transferred over and over again. Half the people didn't even know what I was talking about, but eventually you'll get to the person that you need to talk about and you'll be able to start doing business. So it's a lot of phone calls getting transferred around. And because you can just search Google all you want, most of the legitimate wholesalers won't let you see their wholesale prices until you make an account with them first.
Mm-hmm.
And if the wholesaler does show you prices online, then they're not a legitimate wholesaler. And most of the wholesalers, if they are a legitimate wholesaler and have their prices online, they're most likely selling on eBay too. So you're not going to make any money doing that.
Gosh.
So my plan was finding the wholesalers who don't have an online presence and who work directly with the manufacturer.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. One of the things that kind of got me interested in e-commerce was about 2 years ago. Pat Flynn actually started interviewing some people that had been doing e-commerce, or at least what they call e-commerce. But, you know, drop shippers might actually disagree with that terminology. They actually did a lot of work through what's called FBA, which is Fulfillment by Amazon. And one of the people that actually kind of made that model famous is a guy by the name of Ryan Moran. And he actually has a website called freedomfastlane.com. And what FBA is that you find the products, you know, there's one way that's called retail arbitrage, that you find the products, you know, in your daily life, and then you send them in, and then Amazon will do all the marketing for you and all the shipping to the actual customer. And another model that they do is what's called private labeling, where essentially, you know, you work with some manufacturers or wholesalers or something like that. And basically you just have them send, you know, huge volumes of a certain product to their warehouse. Now, though, neither model is highly lucrative today, believe it or not, because so many people actually started doing it based on, you know, other people's stories. But I was kind of curious as to why wasn't that something that you had gone into, or had you actually heard about it, or what made you not go that route?
Well, I think the biggest difference and the reason why I didn't go that route is because with FBA, you need to pay up front for the item. Mm-hmm. With drop shipping, you don't need to pay until you made a sale, and then you just use the customer's money to order that product.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, well, because basically drop shipping is kind of like fulfillment by the wholesaler, because they take care of the inventory. You don't need to stock it. And then they ship it out to your customer too. Okay. And if you're ordering a certain amount, like when you're dealing with over $250, the wholesaler will actually ship it out for free. So while Amazon, they'll charge you a little bit to keep the inventory, they'll charge you to ship it out, and they'll give you a nice little FBA fee too for all their services that they do. So for me, it was just cheaper in that aspect to do drop shipping.
Right.
So the big difference between drop shipping and the FBA is, and why I was actually banned on eBay, is because I don't have the inventory up. I don't have access to the inventory. The wholesaler has access. And same thing with all these other people who want access to the inventory too. Other people could be making sales on their e-commerce website, Amazon, eBay, and that wholesaler inventory could sell out. So when that inventory sold out and I didn't keep track of the inventory on the wholesaler side, then they could be sold out and I could make a sale on eBay and I couldn't have access to the product. So what would happen is I would just refund the customer 100%, maybe even give them like 10 extra dollars for wasting their time, apologize, explain the whole business model and why I was sold out of the product because my wholesaler didn't have it. And basically, I got 7 negative feedbacks over the course of 8 years between 2006 and 2014. And those were the people who didn't quite believe that I had this whole drop shipping business model and just thought I was holding out on the product so I can sell it later on at a higher price. Mm. That's a huge positive for FBA because you know what's in stock because you bought the inventory yourself.
Right, right. Well, and that's another reason why I think that, you know, maybe through this time that you're building yourself up on eBay, maybe you create your own, you know, WooCommerce based site or something like that, or a BigCommerce sort of thing, so that, you know, you have this alternate platform that you're, you know, not putting all your eggs in one basket. Maybe could be a something you could do as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of why I started teaching too, because you can also learn a lot from my successes as well as my failures. So I teach about how to avoid getting banned in the eBay courses. And basically, one of those ways is instead of just full on drop shipping and listing about 1,000 products on eBay that are drop shipped to you, use drop shipping as a way to determine whether the product will sell. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to find products that sell drop shipping, then you have experience with that, and then you could start buying those products and then having them FBA'd, fulfilled by Amazon.
Okay, cool. So you're now kind of talking about your teaching, and a lot of it again is done through Udemy. And so how did you run into Udemy? Because I was honestly, you're the first person that I ever knew that actually used that platform. And now I'm just kind of hearing a lot of people talking about it. So how did you run across it, and how did you think it was a good fit for what you were trying to do?
Well, throughout the whole time, I knew that my passion was also in teaching. So I wanted to go that route. And if you know who Noah Kagan is, he was the founder of AppSumo, Sumo Me. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's using his apps on your WordPress website. And he basically was talking about validating your core subjects. And he used as an example of Kindle eBooks. You could see the bestsellers on Amazon, and then you could determine whether or not that subject would sell well for you. Because if it's selling, if it's not selling well right now on Amazon, then it's probably not going to sell well regardless. And another way to determine that was through udemy.com, mm-hmm. and which is basically a marketplace for video courses. So anybody listening to this right now could become an instructor and create their own course and sell it on this Udemy marketplace.
Cool. Cool. And I mean, that's completely, so in other words, what you're saying is that it's a Amazon, eBay, but for informational products then.
Right? Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Cool. So why would you want to do something on Udemy versus saying on your own platform? Why, you know, I'm guessing that they have, you know, they share in a percentage of whatever it is that you earn, otherwise they're not going to have anything in it. Why would you do that versus, you know, sell your own courses?
Well, to that point too, Udemy, anytime that they make a sale, Udemy organic sale, they call it, they take 50% of the profit. And basically why I started off with Udemy instead of doing my own website is because the transition between me going from eBay to Udemy, I was so used to just trying to find product. And then I knew that if I got it at a good price, then eBay could just sell it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I opened up my own website, I would have to do all the marketing and pay and set up the website and do everything of the skills that I didn't necessarily have at the time. Mm-hmm. So I knew Udemy would solve most of those problems. They had a great functioning website. They were able to do a lot of the marketing for you as long as you built social proof first. So meaning what I had to do was basically, Udemy has great free resources. Like you can enroll in a free course from them, how to create your own Udemy course, how to market your own Udemy course, which is kind of garbage. But when you're first starting out, I think my course is a lot better about marketing there. And then also they have a trust and safety course learning Udemy policies so you don't get banned from Udemy. Mm-hmm. And so I just read and watched all that information. And basically what they're telling me to do was give away the course for free. And then that would lead to reviews. Mm-hmm. So getting at least 2,000 students in your course for free, which is so easy to do right now. And then waiting a long enough time to just get around 10 to 25 reviews, then people can see that course on Udemy and say, hey, this has 10 five-star reviews with 2,000 students in it. Like, I'm comfortable buying this course. Mm-hmm. And then once you do that, Udemy will basically start to market your courses a little bit for you.
Oh, okay.
So that option to start off is a lot easier than building your own website and marketing it yourself. So I figured if I wanted to do this and started making money on it, Udemy would be the quickest way for me to do so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we can get into this later, but I have my own website right now called skillhance.com. And now Udemy is kind of just acting as a sales funnel for that.
Okay. And that's what I was actually going to ask you, is that, you know, it seems to me that what you can do with Udemy is very similar with what you could do with Amazon and eBay. And that, you know, you can use those as maybe like your ways of, you know, bringing customers to you, but then eventually they might end up on your website where you actually might be able to upsell or, you know, give bigger and better products or stuff like that. And so I'm guessing that's kind of what you maybe do with your site, is that, okay, here's maybe like a light version of what you're going to learn. And if you want, you know, a bigger package, I have this offered on this website. Is that kind of your thinking there? Or?
Well, and there are many ways to do that. So basically on Udemy, which is what makes it unique, you're allowed to send 4 educational announcements. So you can email your students. Mm-hmm. And with those educational announcements, I am allowed to link back to my website for a blog post. So if we're talking about my selling on eBay course and something happened on eBay and I want to, maybe I have like an eBay newsletter that I want to write up, so I can create that on my blog post and then email that to my students, to my 50,000 students. And that's how I'm going to be getting views on my website. And then they can either, whatever I have, so they can enter my marketing funnel on my website. Where the only issue too is I would have comprehensive big courses on eBay. I wouldn't necessarily have a light course, because people, if they bought that course, people might feel like they're getting ripped off. So for example, you want to do a comprehensive course about selling on eBay, so that if the student purchased it, they wouldn't want to feel ripped off that they bought a light version of your course, and then you can buy the full version on your website. What you'd want to do is, in that blog post that you've emailed to your students, you can have a course near the bottom of it that says how to build your own e-commerce website. So it's not like they're missing any compatible information in that course, but you're giving them more information how to build an e-commerce course, so they're not relying on eBay.
Got it. Okay. Well, and I was just kind of curious, because there seems to be a lot of people that, you know, they'll, like, for example, with books, right? A lot of the books that are going out right now, and I don't know exactly, I haven't gotten through Pat's yet, but it's a great book, don't get me wrong, but Ask by Ryan Levesque, he has a lot of, like, for more resources, check out, you know, this website or this website, whatever. And it seems to me that a lot of the books that are going out right now, they obviously, you know, as part of their marketing, they'll include those extra resources. And so that, I guess that makes sense. What you're saying is that, you know, these courses that you're offering on the front end, you know, in the Udemy, would say, hey, for more information, go to whatever. And, you know, you'll get these comprehensive, or not comprehensive, but you'll get these other compatible courses that will build on what you've already learned from this one main course.
Exactly. And there are plenty of ways that you can market your website on Udemy. They have your last lecture is basically a marketing free-for-all, so you can market anything that you want in there. So that's one of the ways that I market Skillhance and push people back onto the website. Mm-hmm. And Udemy, another unique factor that Udemy has is also the promotional announcements. So I'm not allowed to mention my website at all, but I have currently 20 Udemy courses. And in these promotional announcements, I'm allowed to cross sell all of my other courses.
So how do you do that without actually mentioning it?
Sorry, on Udemy, because I have 20 courses on Udemy.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed to cross promote my courses, my Udemy courses, to my other Udemy students.
Gotcha.
So I could cross promote my eBay selling course with my Udemy teaching course. And I try to have, like, I have my course on Udemy, like selling on eBay, and then I would try to market their build an e-commerce course. Store.
Okay.
So things like that.
Gotcha. Going into the actual courses themselves, I mean, what are some of the things that you've had success with there? I mean, what, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you kind of go to other sites that see what sells. What are some of the things that you've had success with, and what do you think sells there?
Well, basically, you got to teach what you know, right? So eBay, and I wouldn't necessarily have taught eBay if I knew that nobody was willing to buy it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I did was I searched Amazon Kindle bestsellers, and I saw a decent amount of books were selling in the top 20,000. And I've heard from other people's experience that if your book on Amazon Kindle is in the top 20,000, then you make at least 5 sales a day. Mm-hmm. So I was good with that if I could replicate that on Udemy. And as well as I searched Google keyword tools, and I noticed that Make Money Online, 60,000 people a month were searching that term. drop shipping around 7,000 people were searching that term per month, and selling on eBay was at 9,000 searches per month. So I figured that people were interested in this, in the subject, and I figured why not use my knowledge to teach a course about it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's did you have any kind of validation that, I mean, yeah, you so your straight up validation way of doing it is just to see that it worked for other people is what you're saying.
Or if it worked for other people, and if enough people that I wanted to sell to was searching it on Google per month.
Okay, gotcha. So you did a little bit of keyword search or keyword research then, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. So you started off with eBay and drop shipping. What kind of other courses have you done over the years?
Well, since then, I created a course about how to teach on Udemy, another course about creating a WordPress blog and website to promote either your Udemy courses or an affiliate Udemy, being an Udemy affiliate. I have a course about productivity. I love personal finance. Another passion of mine is I was starting to invest in 2008. So I have courses about just personal finance, how to just handle your money and save and getting out of debt, as well as how to invest in the stock market.
Mm, okay.
And now I'm in the midst of creating courses about social media marketing and digital marketing. And basically, I'm just trying to tell my story, because right now I'm on the path of making my own website, Skillhance, and I've discovered all of these concepts just being on social media since it first came out, MySpace. And I know Friendster was before then, but I was on MySpace. And now I'm just trying to use these tools to try to market Skillhance. And that's kind of where I am in my life right now.
Okay. So basically, you're trying to teach other people how to emulate your own success. I mean, that's the general model that you've been using.
Exactly. Everything that I do, I try to share my successes and failures to see what's worked for me and what hasn't.
Awesome. How do you normally go about making a course? Like, do you have what kind of software are you looking at, or what kind of thought processes do you kind of go through as to, okay, this will be a good course versus I think I need a little bit more, you know, meat on the bones, so to speak, with this one?
Well, basically, I start off by doing the research that I told you about, just the keyword research and what's already on Udemy and Amazon Kindle. And then when I've decided about my topic that I can actually teach about and know a lot about, I start by writing down a course overview of what's the main goal of this course.
Mm-hmm.
So for eBay, it was how to make $2,000 on the side with no inventory up front. So anything that goes into anything basically that I did in my life is what I taught about. And I would go in like section by section. So section one would be how to get a tax ID and business license.
Mm-hmm.
Section two would be how to communicate and partner up with wholesalers. Section three would be creating an eBay account and learning how to list a product on eBay. This is a straight beginner's course. I assumed that the people who were buying this course knew nothing about selling on eBay.
Right. Right. And you just kind of work it out from there. You know, and it's funny that you should even mention about the whole beginning, the whole first section there, the whole, you know, getting your company actually validated, because a lot of what we hear from, you know, online business marketers, they just kind of skip over that entire part, you know. And I think that, you know, doing just that step gives you a little bit more legitimacy. So that's pretty cool that you include that.
Yeah, because I mean, diving in's great, but you want to dive in after you've made sure that you've run some tests first and see if the people who are, see if people are actually interested in buying what you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, kind of going back into, you know, you were talking about social media marketing and that you're, you know, actually starting to do a course on that. I mean, what are some of the things that it seems to work for you, and how you're getting your word out on the different platforms that you use? I'm guessing one of them obviously is Facebook. What else do you use, and what seems to be working for you?
Well, on Facebook, I think there are a lot of great Udemy groups who, if you post content on there, so let's just say I'm either just taking a picture of what I'm doing today. So one of the things I could be, hey, JC Preston's interviewing me for his podcast, snap some sort of a picture, and then have a couple quotes about what we talk about. And then posting that onto Facebook, Instagram, any kind of social media, and just kind of resourcing it so it applies to all the social media networks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focusing on Instagram. So one of the main key things is, no matter how much you decide to post on any of these social medias, you want to keep it consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily want to plan out all this stuff, create all these social media accounts, and then post a couple times and then just stop posting.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of just work your way up to, I'm posting right now 4 times on Instagram, and I basically schedule out 90% of the posts 1 week in advance.
Okay.
And you can just schedule all that with Hootsuite, using Hootsuite for free. And you have to work with your Instagram app on your phone. And basically, I'm just, quotes work really great on Instagram. So at least 2 out of the 4 posts that I do on Instagram are quotes, business quotes, mm-hmm. or whatever's in your niche. And especially hashtags, because random people can just find you. You don't need, I actually just started my Instagram following.
Mm-hmm.
I had 0 followers on there, none of my friends or anything. And within the first 7 days, I have over 50 followers now. So if I keep this up, it's just going to grow and grow.
Right.
And also just like being transparent and posting about what you're doing. So for example, I could take a picture of my Udemy profile and say, hey, I'm Matt Bernstein. I teach on Udemy 50,000 students across 186 countries. And kind of introducing myself to that, as well as if people know who I am already or don't know, like, hey, I'm about to publish this course on Udemy, and then just kind of seeing the inner workings of how your day-to-day business operations are.
Okay. Going back real quick, you had actually said that you post 4 times. Is that daily then?
Yeah, just for the last 7 days. But again, I got to... This is the amount that I can keep up with. So,
all right. And you plan all of that on Hootsuite. For people who are interested in, and I'm just going to kind of drop this one as an extra. If you have a little bit more cash to get things going with, one of the things that I would recommend outside of Hootsuite is a program called Edgar that Pat Flynn uses quite a bit to schedule, and not only schedule, but save messages from week to week. And so that's something that, you know, if you have a little bit more income to, you know, and don't have as much time to put in every post for the upcoming week, I would look into that. If you don't, what is it? Tweet Jukebox is another tool that you can use to, you know, save for a particular, I think up to 200 tweets you can actually save and, you know, tweet out or, you know, over the course of a month or so. And yeah, I mean, that's just in itself, scheduling is definitely something that you'll need to learn how to do. But I think that, you know, as you start getting, you know, machines and whatever, is little machines that are, you know, duplicating your efforts, then using Edgar and again, Tweet Jukebox definitely help you and, you know, keeping that momentum going. Let's see. So you're talking about using Instagram. You know, generally speaking, people, when they think of Instagram, they think of it as being a more of a visual sort of thing. So how do you go about, you know, you were saying quotes and whatnot. How do you go about using Instagram for quotes if it's more of a picture related social media?
Well, basically it's, so I could have a quote of Mark Cuban and that could just be a picture of him. And then the quote is kind of overlaid on him. Okay. And one of the easy ways to do that is, number one, you can use canva.com, which is a free tool that just you can click on Instagram posts and then it sizes up the picture right for you. And you can either create the picture yourself. You can just, I get a lot of my stuff just off of Google and I just find something, a quote that matches my niche. And I just take one of those images, as long as it's, you know, within the copyrights and everything, you can just easily search through Creative Commons onto Google or other tools as well. And if you didn't want to go that route, you can actually create better images for free on canva.com. They have their own images in the background and they have all these fonts that just make it easier for you to just slap on a quote from somebody, right, or even yourself.
And another action, what's cool, and I don't, maybe you don't know, have heard about this, is that if you go to Google Images, you can actually go to search tools now, and there's actually a drop down now for usage rights. And so you can click labeled for reuse with modification, and there's a good chance that you might be able to use the images that you see on there without getting into too much trouble. I mean, you still have to, you know, be smart about it, but if they look like, you know, maybe stock pictures or something like that, maybe you can use those. But, you know, don't use pictures that are overly, you know, professional. Otherwise, you know, someone's probably gonna end up be knocking on your door and being like, yeah, it's my picture. So,
well, and the great thing about, just as long as you use those filters on Google, is no matter what picture comes up, you can just make it look a lot better within Canva,
right?
Which is huge, because I was trying to use all these other apps and it just, like, they made it sound like it was easy, but when somebody told me about Canva, like, it's actually easy once you start to just play around with it and get used to their platform.
Right. And if you don't have access to, you know, say Photoshop, and, or if you do, but you don't want to have to take all the time to, you know, do your own custom, you know, design stuff, Canva is definitely the way to go. So cool. So, you know, you're starting your new webpage, which again is called skillhance.com, right?
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is that part of the whole point of making your own platform is to build a growing list of potential buyers, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the ways to do that is to build an email list. And so I'm kind of curious, is how do you go about building an email list, and you know, what is your opt-in value offer sequence?
Well, basically, to get people to the website, there are numerous things you can do. And one of those things, me being in video, is YouTube. And YouTube, I think I have over 150,000 views in the last 2 years. And one of the things that you could do is they have these YouTube cards, which is basically like a pop-up kind of within the video.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever time that I set within the video, they'll be hit with this and they'll say, hey, you want to learn how to sell more on eBay? Here's this free video course. And you can click through that and then it'll go through my website. And then exchange for your email, you can get this free kind of light version of the selling on eBay course.
Okay. Like that. Okay. Yeah, because that's something that a lot of people struggle with is, you know, how do you provide enough value that your potential buyers might see it as being value, but, you know, you're not spilling the entire, you know, secret on something. So that's some cool insight there. Appreciate that.
Exactly. And another thing to think about too, is because when you do that, it kind of just, you get a lot of people who just want free, free, free and have no intention of ever buying from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think another good strategy would be I'm on this podcast right now. This is for free. And then if somebody likes me, you'll have my information. Then you can go on to Skillhance and buy something. So this this in and of itself could be a marketing tool where I'm giving out as best free information as I can. And then instead of you even just opting into anything for more free stuff, you would just buy something. Mm-hmm. So not even having an email list that you give away free stuff on, and using podcasts, blog articles, YouTube videos, and things like that. And then that's the free. And then the only way you're on the email list is if your customer pays for something. And then the next way is I run my own. It's called blab.im. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's kind of like a webinar, except people who are watching can jump in on the call, ask you questions, and it's just more personal. And so running one of those, giving away free information every week, and again, consistency, doing it every week. I'm sure you know all about consistency, JC, doing your podcast every single week. And then repurposing that blab into a YouTube video, into a video on Facebook, posting it into Facebook groups that are within my niche, as well as even creating a picture for it and post it on Instagram and having a quote from the podcast. Mm-hmm. Same with Pinterest, and just like repurposing that same content and spreading it all across all of these platforms that we all know and love, and doing it consistently.
Right. Well, and one of the things, even kind of piggybacking on that idea, is that even if you're just happen to be a blogger, you know, I think a lot of people just kind of hope that people will come to your website and to use social media. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to various places where they let you set your blog post and just copying and pasting what you did on your main page and saying, hey, for more, you know, for more articles like this, check out the my main page. So yeah, that's good information. Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. So as we're closing up today a little bit, and coming to the end of the hour, let's kind of get into the rapid fire questions. And again, these are questions that I ask, you know, all the previous guests thus far. And maybe I should do an update here in the not too distant future, because maybe, you know, you get to cheat a little bit and kind of prepare your answers. But anyway, the first question is, what are three things you want people to remember you by after hearing about you and what you do today?
Well, I think number one is that you can learn a lot about my successes and, more importantly, from my failures. And so I think that's the reason why I teach, is because I want people to learn those things, as well as just a friend, because I just like getting to know people. And the main reason is because I think you can learn something from anybody that you talk to. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much from JC today.
Awesome.
Seriously, it was fun talking to you too. So, and then the third thing is, this is kind of a trait that people who know me by, is booming voice. So I don't mind being the loudest person in the room, and sometimes I am.
It happens.
So
those are the three.
Yeah, those are the three we'll go with.
Okay, cool. So who are the your favorite influential people that have been in your life?
Well, as far as experts go and mentors, I mean, I think learning from millionaires and billionaires for what we do is the greatest tool that we have. So Neil Patel, mm-hmm. who did Crazy Egg and the Hello Bar. Noah Kagan, who did AppSumo and who introduced me to Udemy. You know, how can he not be my favorite?
Right.
And Mark Cuban, because I just love Shark Tank. And I mean, he's a little bit too arrogant for me, but he's got a lot of great information.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about Mark is that, you know, he kind of has a lot of the same characteristics as maybe Gary Vee, right? But, you know, but at the same time, I think Mark, you know, he has that playfulness side to him that, you know, you see a lot of. And because, I mean, he was just on, and I'm going to kind of label myself here a little bit, but he was actually just on Girl Meets World the other night. So, really? Yeah, I kid you not. And he was on there, and they were doing a little Shark Tank thing for the kids that was in the show. So that's kind of cool. that.
That's cool. I'm going to check that out because I like Boy Meets World, and I'm not going to lie, I've seen a couple episodes of Girl Meets World too.
I think it's one of those things for our generation. It's like, man, you know, if you did follow Corey and Boy Meets World, then you just kind of, you kind of want to see where this new, you know, series is going, just because it's like, I hope they don't screw too much with what they did back in the day. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and him, Sean, and Eric are in the episodes a decent amount. I don't know if they're still in it, but...
Yeah, yeah, they are. They are. So, yeah, and speaking of that, what's funny is that you mentioned that. Stay tuned, because, what is it, Fuller House is coming out before too long?
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting as all get out. So, yeah, we'll see how that works out. But going on to the next question here, what does success mean to you, and how do you achieve that success?
Well, I think success is definitely, I'll be a little cliche and I'm not the first one to say this, but just doing what you love every day and things like that. And on top of it, making enough money so you can keep doing the things that you love to do every day. Because if I was sitting here just talking about the things that I do love to do, but not making any money doing it, and that's all I did, then I wouldn't consider myself successful, at least not in this society how we have, because my apartment costs money to rent. If I want to buy a house, it costs money, and doing all these things costs money. So I just think having those two concepts in there is my definition of being successful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's an important thought you have there. Cause again, you know, a lot of people do creative work, but they just don't go, you know, rewarded for it. And eventually, you know, they usually have to hang it up because, you know, they just didn't search or get that validation that they were looking for. So.
And we're just talking about people like us who I actually don't even know. Do you do this full time too, right?
Yeah.
So it's just people like us who are doing this full time. I'm not saying if you have a full time job and stuff like that, it's just for, you know, the solo entrepreneurs out there.
Yeah. Well, but I think there's a lot of creatives that, you know, they want to make it a full-time thing, and they're just, you know, maybe they just struggle with, you know, figuring out how to connect with what they're actually doing to, you know, bringing in rewards for it. So, and there's a good thing, which is another discussion altogether that just talked about on the last podcast, session 21, Patreon. So, even if you're an artist, you know, look into Patreon as potentially being a way to bring in income. So, cool. Last question is kind of talking about what we, you know, been talking about in depth about Udemy. What are three things that if someone was wanting to start a little bit of a career on Udemy, what are three things that they could do today to get that ball rolling?
Well, I guess basically going on teach.udemy.com, and they have some great free resources about how to create your first course, how to pick your topic, and then enrolling in those three courses about course creation, course marketing, and the trust and safety team. Because in order for you to be successful on Udemy, you want to know the ins and outs of how Udemy operates and how to become a successful instructor. Know that better than anybody else, and then you can be successful doing that. Also, the tools that I use to create my own courses are, I have a Blue Yeti microphone, which is $90. It's very low upfront cost. And my editing software that I use to edit and produce the courses as well as record is Camtasia Studio 8 for either Windows or Mac. And if you go on their website, it's $300. But if you email Udemy instructor@udemy.com, or instructorsupport@udemy.com, they'll give you 50% off coupon for that. So you'll only end up paying $150 for the editing software and $90 for the mic. So to get started, it's only $240, and it's a very low upfront way to make money online.
Cool. Awesome. Well, definitely a pleasure having you on today, Matt. Where can people find you if they want to, you know, connect with you or find more of your work?
Well, to connect with me, people can email me at matt@skillhands.com. You can find the blog at skillhands.com/blog, and they can either read blog posts, look at the courses that I have on there.
All right. Cool. And obviously you're on social media as well, so they can find you on Facebook and Instagram and other places as well. All right.
Yeah. Just Skill Hands.
Gotcha. All right. Cool. All right, Matt. Well, definitely appreciate you again having you on the show, and hopefully some people can get some good takeaways from your courses that you're offering. So
I hope so too. Thank you so much for having me on, JC. I really appreciate it.
It was definitely a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
You think you got all of that one? Man, talk about a ton of tips. I hope you're writing some of that sound. Definitely great stuff. You know, honestly, I really had no idea what it went into drop shipping and, just some of the procedures that you had to do before I checked out this course as part of the research that I did for the show. But it really sounds like if you want to, make some decent cash in the not too distant future, that could definitely be a winner for you. Or, if online hustling just isn't your cup of tea, then Udemy might be a great opportunity for you as well. You know, I don't know if I'll be posting any future courses on it myself or not, but in the near future, but I will say that it sounds like you can get some major quantity viewership out of it. If you're interested in the show notes for this particular session, you can find them at newinceptions.com/session24. Where, as usual, I've made it easy for you to subscribe to this podcast for free via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Shona extras for this session are kind of a random collection. However, I will say that Matt was kind enough to offer a deal that I think you guys will like and should definitely take advantage of. In fact, it's called How I Made $50,000 in Profits on Udemy. And you guys are going to get half off of that course. Half off. And get it for $9 if you visit the link newinceptions.com/UdemyMatt. That's Udemy, UdemyMatt. And that will take you to his landing page. And if you thought today's chat was useful, I think you'll get plenty more value out of that course. Another resource that I thought I'd add was an interview that Matt did earlier this year with a fellow by the name of Dennis Smith on YouTube. And the number three resource is one that is it's e-commerce related, but deals with a platform called Shopify. Some of you might have heard of it, but it is a very detailed piece that goes into depth about how to make a store with them. And in fact, it was written by one of their content editors. It's entitled How I Imported Gaming Glasses with Alibaba and Made $2,416.51 in 5 weeks. Very, very detailed title there. But what's different than Matt's approach is that it's a little bit more into private labeling, and so you'll have to buy the products up front. But it's a very different tactic than what Matt does, but it does work. It's just that you simply have to pay up front to get the product. So that's pretty much it for the extras. If you have any further questions or want to know more about anything you heard on today's show, feel free to email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Coming up in next week's show, Trent and I talk with a friend of session number six's guest, Joe Cranes. His name is David Sandstrom. On top of being a member of my mastermind group, David is a pilot and holistic health practitioner. If you've ever wondered about alternative forms of medicine and specifically holistic health, that's what this talk will be all about. Honestly, I had no idea what it was about before the chat. And on top of defining it, we also chat about how a pilot with an MBA got into it, why everyone should know about it, and what David means when he talks about vibrant health. Now, personally, I thought it was a very interesting conversation because I've had reservations about traditional doctors for a number of years, and personally, I still do. You know, they seem to just deal with physical symptoms, not necessarily the underlying ailment. This isn't the case with Dave and his fellow practitioners. I think if you're tired of pills and have success with yoga and chiropractors, which, there are other forms of alternative medicine, then you might like what Dave has to say next week. So, tune in next Thursday and when we drop that edition. Until then, head on over to show notes found at newinceptions.com/session24. Again, there is where you'll find the show notes to all that we discussed today. And remember, we really appreciate you guys for listening and sharing our show. And honestly, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to impact all the people we help get out of their box and, impacting even more people around the world that through work that's meaningful not only to them, but, you know, to other people. So please be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on whichever platform you're using. It means not only to us, but our guests and, of course, future listeners of the show. So that's pretty much a wrap. If you've been thinking about starting an e-commerce-based business or just want to check out some of the topics that Matt has to offer, again, check out the links in the show notes. He has a pretty big library of courses that you can take advantage of. And as usual, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.